Lag BaOmer is a very strange day. It's a very strange day because there is relatively very little information about Lag BaOmer, which you find from a perspective of Chazal in Shas, as to any significance in this day whatsoever. All the references that you find either in Shas or in the Peskim in reference to Lag BaOmer are all halachic references in regards of the halachas of Sfiras HaOmer in terms of the Avelus of Sfiras HaOmer. And the entire debate or discussion that takes place within the Peskim in reference to Lag BaOmer is basically revolves around the halachas of Avelus of the Yemei HaSfira in reference to Lag BaOmer. In terms of the essence of Lag BaOmer, or in terms of the message of Lag BaOmer, in terms of the identity of Lag BaOmer as a unique day in the year, over and above the halachic ramifications of Lag BaOmer in reference to Avelus, the only sources that exist are Kabbalistic sources. It's only the Sifrei HaKabbalah and those who extrapolated on the Sifrei HaKabbalah that discussed the significance of Lag BaOmer and the power of Lag BaOmer and the spiritual energy that exists during the duration of Lag BaOmer. The problem is that in reference to anything which starts from a Kabbalistic source, anything which starts from a source which is not in Nigla Shebetera, but anything which starts from a source that is either in the Sefer HaZohar or in those who extrapolated on the Sefer HaZohar, it becomes a topic which, because of its depth, is difficult to understand. The terminology is difficult to understand, the expressions that are used are difficult to understand, and therefore the significance of what is being told to us is difficult for us to understand on a practical level because it's couched or it's verbalized in a language which we're not used to. It's a vocabulary that we don't use in everyday conversation. So what we're going to try to do, B'siyata Dishmaya, is to try and bring the concepts down to a very, very simplistic level in everyday language that we can understand what Lag BaOmer is all about. But in addition to that, we have to understand something else as well. Anything which comes from a mystical source has a power. It has a mystical power. Mystical powers are dangerous. And the reason why mystical powers are dangerous are because they are comparable to electrical equipment. Use it correctly, it's of tremendous advantage to you. You use it incorrectly, you get electrocuted and you die. Anything which comes from a mystical source is a powerful vehicle. It's a vehicle which, if you use it correctly, it's to the advantage of the user and it's beneficial for the user. But if the user dares to use it in a way in which it was not created for, in a way in which goes against the manufacturer's manual, then it has a tendency to explode and to damage the user. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, which happens to be the 33rd blot of Maseches Shabbos, and also happens to be the 33rd time, and you can check this out with Rabbi Kupitz, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is mentioned in Shas, which of course is all by chance, but relates the story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And what the Gemara says is that Yasvei Reb Yehuda v'Reb Yosi v'Reb Shimon, that Reb Yehuda and Reb Yosi and Reb Shimon were all sitting together. V'Yosif Yehuda ben Gerin Gabayu, and there was another gentleman who was sitting with them whose name was Yehuda, who was a Ger, or was a descendant of Gerim. Pasach Reb Yehuda v'Yoma, so Reb Yehuda said, Kama no'im ma'aseihem shel umazu. Look at how beneficial are the activities of the occupying power, namely the Romans, who at that time ruled Eretz Yisrael. Tiknu, they established shvokim, marketplaces. Tiknu, they built shorim, bridges. Tiknu, they built merchatzois, bathhouses, which are all beneficial to the public. Reb Yosi, who was the second of the Tanoim who was sitting there, Shosak, he didn't respond. Nen Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Reb Shimon ben Yochai did respond. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, V'oma, he said, Komashe tiknu, anything that they built, anything that they established, Leitiknu ele letzerich atzmon. They did it for purely egoistic reasons. Tiknu shvokim. The only reason why they built marketplaces was lahashiv bahim zaynis, that they should be able to establish their places for zaynis. Merchatzais, the only reason why they built bathhouses was la'adin bahin atzmon, was in order that they should be able to beautify themselves. Gishorim, the only reason why they built bridges was in order that they should be able to litel mehen meches, that they should be able to take tolls from anybody who goes over the bridge. That was the conversation that went on between these three Tanoim, at which Yehuda ben Gerim was present and overheard the conversation. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim. So this guy, Yehuda ben Gerim, went, v'siper divrehem, and he told it over to other people, and it became common knowledge, that which Reb Shimon ben Yochai had said, basically dissing the Romans. Eventually, nishma'u l'malchus, the authorities heard about this discussion that took place between these three Tanoim. Omru, and the authorities decided, Yehuda She'ilo, this Yehuda ben Gerim, who is the only reason why we know about all this, because he told, he spread the word that this conversation had taken place, Yis'ale, he will get a position of authority. Reb Yosi, who sat there and didn't come to the defense of the Romans, Yosi Sheshosak, who kept quiet, he has to go into Golos, and they exiled him to a place called Tzipori. And Shimon, meaning Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who slammed the Romans, Yehoreg, they passed a death sentence on him. So Ozel Hu Ubrei, so he and his son ran away. Tashu Bei Midrasha. And they hid themselves in a Beis HaMedrash. But they had to survive in the Beis HaMedrash. So they told their Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's wife where they were. Kol Yuma have a Maisa Luhu Debisu Rifta Ubukuzadamaya. Every day she would bring them bread and water to the Beis HaMedrash where they were hiding in order that they should be able to survive. Says the Gemara Kitakiv Gzeirota, when the authorities started searching for them very much, and they were scared that the authorities would put pressure on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's wife to tell them where they are. Amar Eli Brei, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, Noshim Daiton Kala Aleihem. Dilma Metzairi lo, Umegalia lo. Women can't withstand pressure. They'll torture her, and she will have to tell them in the end where we're hiding. Therefore, Oslu they went, Toshu Bama Aroso, and they hid themselves in a cave without telling even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's wife where they were going to, and therefore nobody knew where they were going. They found a cave, and they went into the cave. Israchesh Niso, a nest took place. Ibrahu Charuva, Ve'ena Demaya. A carob tree grew there, and a spring of water miraculously appeared. And they were able to eat and to drink from the carob tree that miraculously appeared, and the water which miraculously appeared. However, they had a different problem. And the problem was that the clothing that they were wearing would have got worn out. So the Gemara continues and says that other than during the time when they had to daven, they used to take off their clothing and bury themselves in the sand up to their necks. And that's how they sat and learnt in the Ma'ora. When the time for davening came, they would get out of the sand, put on their clothing, daven, and then when they finished davening, they would take off the clothing again and go back underneath the sand and carry on learning. In order that the clothing shouldn't wear out. The continuation of the Gemara tells us that they spent 12 years in this Ma'ora. They then left the Ma'ora. They then went back into the Ma'ora again. We won't go into why. And they spent a further year in the Ma'ara. They spent a sum total of 13 years in which they ate from the carob tree, drank from the water, and spent the entire day learning together, naked in the sand, basically, just covering themselves with the sand, and only wearing their clothing for the limited period of time during the day when they had to be mispala, when they had to daven. One of the questions which the Mefarshim ask here on the Gemara is, the Mefarshim bring rayas from Sukkim, that tzaddikim are protected because of their tzidkas from persecution by Rishoyim. And therefore, in any occasion where the Rasha manages to persecute the tzaddik, there must be a specific reason for this, because the norm is that the Rasha cannot have control over the Tzaddik. Therefore, say the Mefarshim, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai obviously knew who he was. He also knew that the Romans were Rishoyim. That's what he said, and that's why he got into trouble. Why was he so scared of the Romans that he had to run away to a cave? Why wasn't he samech on the fact that Rishoyim can't be shaylet on Tzaddikim? The Mora there continues and says that after they emerged from the cave, after the 13 years that they emerged from the cave, Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer, who was the son-in-law of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, heard that they'd suddenly reappeared, because nobody, including the wife of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, knew where they were, and certainly not his son-in-law. They didn't tell anybody because they were frightened that the Romans would find out by torturing people who the Romans thought knew where they were. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoel also didn't know where they were. And when they suddenly, when he heard the news that his father-in-law and his brother-in-law had reappeared, Nofik la'apei, he went out to greet them. The first thing they did when they came out of the Ma'ara was to go to wash. And Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoel was there when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai went to wash after being 13 years in the sand. And he saw that the entire body of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was covered in sores. He saw that the skin of the entire body of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had been cracked and was infected from being underneath the sand for so many years. And he started crying. But his tears entered into, says the Gemara, the wounds that were on the body of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And because tears are salty, therefore, it caused a tremendous amount of pain to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai started screaming from pain. To which Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoel said to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Omalo, he said to him, Oili shiro isicho bekach. Woe is to me that I'm seeing you in such a situation. Omalo, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai responded and said, Ashrecho shiro isoni bekach. You should be happy that you're seeing me in such a situation. Shil ilmole loira isoni bekach, because if you wouldn't see me in the physical situation that I'm in, loy motzosi bikach, you wouldn't have found me to be as great as I am now that I came out of the Ma'ara, as opposed to the way I was when I went into the Ma'ara. Demei kora, says the Gemara, because prior to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai going into the Ma'ara, when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai used to ask a kasha, Rav Pinchas ben Yoya could immediately give him 12 answers to the kasha that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai asked. By the time Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the Ma'ara after 13 years, when Rav Pinchas ben Yoya asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai a kasha, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai could give him 24 tirutzim. In other words, says the Gemara, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai turned round to his son-in-law and said, you shouldn't be upset about the way you're seeing me, because you have to understand something. It's only because of the way that you're seeing me now, with all the physical problems that I had, that I reached the darga in learning that I reached. It's only because I sat in the Ma'ara, in the Chayel, eating chruvim and drinking water, that I managed to get to the Daga that I got to. The Torah tells us that when Yaakov Avinu was being mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he said to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give him mayim le'echol u'beged lilboish. Give me bread to eat and give me something to wear. When Yaakov Avinu sends his children to Mitzrayim because there's a famine going on in Eretz Yisrael, and there's nothing to eat, Yaakov Avinu says to his children, Shibru lonu ma'at oichel, bring us ma'at oichel, bring back a small quantity of food. A small quantity of food, say the Mefoshim, ma'at oichel means Hahechrach lanu. The minimum amount that we need to survive, and not more. Yosef, when he's receiving Yehuda, and he asks Yehuda, what are you doing here? Yehuda says, Vayoyma Ovinu, our father said to us, Shivru no ma'at oichel. Again, the emphasis on the ma'at oichel, the minimum of amount that we need. In other words, we're not asking for anything which can be considered to be a luxury. All we're asking for is the minimum. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zichron Livracha, had a hafladika diuk in a Gemara in Adorim. The Gemara in Adorim relates on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara in Adorim relates that Rabbi Yehuda was poverty stricken. Rabbi Yehuda and his wife had no money. And the Gemara says that Yotzesol Shuk. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda's wife went to the marketplace and she bought wool. And from the wool, she made some sort of cloak. When she had to go out to the marketplace to buy in the market, she wore the cloak. When Rabbi Yehuda used to go out to daven with a minyan, there are people who daven with a minyan. When Rabbi Yehuda went out to daven with a minyan, when he went to the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses, to daven with a minyan, he wore the clothes. And the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yehuda used to wear it, when he used to put it on, he used to make a bracha. And he used to say, Baruch she'atfani b'meiu. Made a bracha that Rabbi Yishlam gave me a beged to wear. To which Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says, a hafle deke ha'ora. He says, I don't understand this Gemara. What was the beged that she made? Manafshach. If she made a beged, which is a man's beged, then she's not allowed to wear it. Because lo silbash. If the beged that she made was a woman's beged, then he's not allowed to wear it. Lo silbash. So what was this beged? To which Rav Chaim said, Sinit given kim beged given ashmata. It wasn't a beged. It was a formless piece of material. She bought wool and she knitted from the wool a piece of material. And she wrapped herself in the piece of material when she went to the market, and he wrapped himself in the piece of material when he went to the shul. And yet, when he wrapped himself in the shmata, says Rav Chaim, he made a brocha. Baruch shetvani talis. Shetvani mi'il. In other words, as far as he was concerned, he had the same simcha from wearing the shmata as if he was wearing an expensive coat. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Kachi darka shel Torah. What is the derech of Torah? Kachi darka shel Torah. Says the Mishnah, Pas b'melach toichau, mayim b'mishuro tishte, bread and salt, brack and water, v'aloretz tishon, sleep on the ground, u'b'toira atom omel, occupy yourself with learning Torah, imato oise kein ashrecho v'toiv lecho, ashrecho b'olam hazeh v'toiv lecho b'olam habo. You'll be happy in this world and it'll be good for you in the world to come. Which seems to indicate that the Tanna in the Mishnah is telling us that a person shouldn't be nene at all from this world. A person should be mesagif himself. A person should put himself into a situation of suffering in this world. I once heard from my Rebbe, from Reb Lev Gruetz, Zechatzati Livrocha. He said, this can't be. This is contradictory to a Gemara. This is contradictory to the Gemara which says that the Nozir is considered to be a Chayta. And why is the Nozir considered to be a Chayta? Say Chazal, because he's Mitzayer Atzmei Min HaYayin. Because even though the Torah doesn't want that a person should be a doesn't want that a person should to eat or drink to excesses, but the fact that a person takes on abstinence is not seen by the Torah as being a maila, it's seen by the Torah as being a chasaron, ad kedei kach, that he's considered to be a chayta, and therefore it's definitely lot lefi ruach ha-Torah. In addition, he asked a very, very good question. He said, look at the language of the Mishnah. He said, it's a very strange language. He said, if you look at the language of the Mishnah says the following. Pas b'melech toichal. That's in the future tense. You should eat pas b'melech. Mayim b'mshiratishta is also in the future tense. V'yala oretz tishon is also in the future tense. U'b'teira ato omer is in the present tense. It doesn't say u'b'teira ato ta'amoil. It says u'b'teira ato omer. Why the switch? Why does it switch from the future tense to the present tense? To which he explained in the following way. He said, the Tanna is not talking about the present. The Tanna is not talking about the practicality of what a person has to do. The Torah is talking about the focus of a person. What has to be the focus of a person? The focus of the person is that b'Torah ato omer. The focus of a person is that he has to sit and learn Torah. That's what he was put in this world for, and that has to be his objective and that has to be his focus. He has to do it with an understanding that even if his sitting and learning is such that it creates a situation where as far as he can see, it means that he will not be able to enjoy anything which he sees as being enjoyable in life. Even if it means that as far as he can see, it requires on his part a sacrifice of those things which he sees to be essential comforts that he needs in this life. Even if in his eyes, the b'Torah ato omer will lead to a situation in the future of pas b'melech toichal v'mayim mishirat tishta v'aloraz tishon. And it doesn't mean literally. It means that if a person learns Torah, he has to understand that the learning of Torah involves self-sacrifice. He has to see as his objective one thing and one thing only, the limud ha-Torah. And if that limud ha-Torah comes at the expense of that which he at this point in time feels comfortable with, or which even he in the future will feel comfortable with, if he feels that his learning is going to detract from something that he wants in the future, and if I learn and if I change, then I won't be able to do in the future what now at this point in time I want to do in the future, then he's got it all wrong. Because learning has to be with a prerequisite. Learning has to be with a preconception. And the preconception is that I'm willing to sacrifice for it. I'm willing to give up for it. And giving up doesn't necessarily mean giving up in monetary terms. It doesn't necessarily mean giving up in food. It doesn't necessarily mean giving up in sleeping. It doesn't necessarily mean... It means giving up that which at this point in time I mistakenly believe is something which is important. Or is important to me. And if one's not willing to do that, then one gets nowhere. But if one is willing to do that, the Tanna in the Mishnah promises us that Ashrecha, you will eventually get to a point where you will find plenty hana in this world, but it will be coming from the things which are important in the world, not from the things which are unimportant. Ashrecha, you will be happy, you will enjoy yourself. But the enjoyment will come from things other than what you think at this point in time is something which is enjoyable. And in addition, Tov Lecha Ba'olam Haba. You're going to get Schar for it in Olam Haba as well. But it's not only the Schar in Olam Haba you're going to get. Your whole scale of values of what's called enjoyable and what's not called enjoyable changes through Ba'ata Omer Ba'Teira. If a person devotes himself to Limud HaTeira. It's a tenai, it's a precondition within Kabbalah HaTeira that there has to be a negation of the self. There has to be a hakrova, there has to be a sacrifice on the part of the person. If one's not willing to give up something, then one gets nowhere at all. And that's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was saying to his son-in-law. You're crying because you see that I'm a physical wreck. You have to understand something. You see me as being a physical wreck, and the fact that your tears are causing me pain to be something which is painful, the opposite of enjoyment, and therefore, what was the point of the whole exercise? Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you don't get to base one, you don't understand anything. If it wouldn't be for the fact that I was willing to give up, if it wouldn't have been the fact that I was willing to sit there for 13 years without the type of food that I wanted to eat, all I wanted to eat was charuvim. That's all I had to eat. The menu never changed. And not once did I call Landsman because I had no telephone there. And there was nothing to drink other than water. So the card that I had from P.O. or every other place I had was worthless to me because I couldn't buy anything anyway. And I had no clothing. I had nothing. That which normally is important to people, I didn't have on Friday night. I couldn't walk in looking like a goose in a straitjacket. I couldn't. I had absolutely no possibility of conforming with a drunken homosexual in Paris who decided that I have to wear a hat which has a chicken pulka sticking out of the ribbon around it. Says Rav Shimon Yochai, but because I understood that even though I would have liked to wear a hat with a pulka sticking out of it, if I want to get somewhere in Torah, I have to give up something. Therefore, I was willing to do it. And because I was willing to do it, that's why I can answer any kasha you ask me with 24 terutzim. Rome represented the ultimate in enjoyment and luxury. The Roman buildings, the Roman orgies, everything about Rome represented indulgence. That's what Rome was all about. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda said the Romans did a service to us, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, no. The Romans didn't do any service to us at all. The Romans were simply Levaria guys. The Romans were simply guys who their entire function in life was to develop the mistaken areas of enjoyment which they thought are called enjoyment. They were totally egoistic. They did it all for themselves. They didn't do it for anybody else. They weren't giving a public service. They were doing it for themselves. The Sforim HaKadoshim say that Rishoyim do not have power over Tzadikim. That's true. But they only do not have power over Tzadikim if the tzaddik isn't nichshal in the same thing that that particular rosha that is trying to overpower him is involved in. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's fear was, why did he run away from the Romans? Because Rome represented a lack of self-sacrifice, a lack of negation of ego. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, I don't know whether I'm safe from the Romans because perhaps I'm also missing in that. After 13 years of sitting in the sand, eating charuvim and drinking water, Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, they can't have a hold over me. Because I've proven to myself that I don't suffer from the same clipper that they suffer from, and therefore I have power over them, they don't have power over me. The Torah in Or HaChaim, in Siman Tov Kaf Ches, says that if you want to know when the day of Lag BaOmer falls out, it's very easy to work it out. He says that Lag BaOmer is on Yud Ches Iyar, and Lag BaOmer always falls out on the same day that Purim falls. As in this year, Purim was on Thursday, other than Yerushalayim, but Purim the Prozim was on Thursday, and therefore Lag BaOmer comes out to be on a Thursday. Which the Chassidish Sfarim say means that Lag BaOmer has a connection with Purim. In reference to Purim, the Yerushalmi says that anybody who stretches out his hand on Purim, kalapushet yad, noislim loy. And if you look in the Rishonim there, which is the source for this, and this is the way that the Sfarim explain it, but it's actually the mashmos of the Rishonim is like that, that it's talking not just somebody who's asking for tzedakah, but it's talking about every Jew. Every Jew stretches out his hand on Purim to the Ribbono Shel Olam in tefillah, the Ribbono Shel Olam answers him. Things which it's very difficult for a Jew to be mispalel and to be answered during the course of the year are answered on Purim. And Lag BaOmer is a hemshech of Purim in this area. That Lag BaOmer, and that's what the Torah is trying to tell us, that Lag BaOmer has the same inyan that Purim has. Those things which a person is mispalel for on Lag BaOmer, even though during the course of the year it's very difficult for a person to have his tefillahs answered in these areas, if a person is mispalel on Lag BaOmer, the tefillah will be answered. However, one has to know what to daven for. And obviously, each and every individual has his own inyonim that he has to daven for, that he wants to daven for. But one has to be very careful, as I said at the very beginning, because anything which is built on a mystical basis is powerful and it can backfire very, very badly. Anybody sitting here in this room who has a hava mina of traveling to Miron has to understand something. You're traveling to Miron, you're traveling to the kever of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rav Shimon bar Yochai, as we said, epitomized the concept of total negation of self, total negation of self-interest, total negation of self-enjoyment, and total commitment to Amola B'Torah. And therefore, if one goes to Miron, and one is mispalel for siyata dishmaya in learning, there is no question that kala peshet yad noisim loy, kedai Reb Shimon lismechalov, and that the tefillahs are answered. The Ribbono Shel Olam answers tefillahs which are mispalel in Miron on Lag BaOmer. That I can tell you from personal experience. I can tell you two stories of my wife who went specifically to Meron on Lag BaOmer. She goes every year. On two occasions she went, she was mispalel for people who did not have children for many years, and both of them had children within the year, which has nothing at all to do with my wife, believe me. It has to do with the fact that that is the power of tefillah Lag BaOmer in Meron. It is a immensely powerful vehicle. But going to be mispalel in Meron on Lag BaOmer is to be mispalel in the way that the Yishuv HaYoshan, the way that you Shalom Jews go to be mispalel in Meron on Lag BaOmer. You take a Sefer Tehillim with you and you get on a bus. It's a 4-hour journey, and within 4 hours you can finish the entire Sefer Tehillim. You sit in Meron for 2 or 3 hours and you finish the entire Sefer Tehillim. And then you get straight back on the bus, and you come back to Yerushalayim, and you finish the entire Sefer Tehillim. And if a person goes to Meron, and the culmination of the 12 hours that he spent in Meron is that he was mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam for Yisiyata Dishmaya, and he managed to finish the entirety of Sefer Tehillim 3 times, then muftach loy that the Ribbono Shel Olam will be nena litfilosei. But if Chas V'Shalom, a person goes to Meron, and Meron becomes another trip, and Meron becomes extended over days, and Meron becomes enjoying oneself, it's a very powerful vehicle that backfires. It explodes, it electrocutes the person who's using it, and he dies.